Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get
the preacher's going to preach about giving to be remembered. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Stand as symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Three slides. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, we're talking about giving to be remembered. Giving to be remembered. That last verse says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in remembrance of her. And we're going to pose three questions this morning as we preach this message, giving to be remembered. We're going to pose the question, why wash? We're going to pose the question, why waste? And then we're going to pose the question, why waken? Why wash? Why waken? Why wash or waste? And we want Christians to know that Christians who give lavishly will be remembered. Christians who give lavishly will be remembered. I listened to a message yesterday, and this message literally almost had me in tears. As our Sunday school teacher told me, or asked me to listen to a message by Chuck Swindoll. And before his church, he made a confession. And his confession was, is that as he looked back over the years of his ministry, that he made it seem like that it was an option. He possibly made it seem like that it was an option to give to God. And he dropped the revelation from Mark chapter 12, verse 17, I believe, where it talks about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. And he made a insight that most of us, when we preach that text, we only talk about rendering unto Caesar. As if Caesar was the only one that who was owed. But Jesus told us and commanded us to render unto God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, render unto God. It is not a option. And I was almost in tears because I realized that I was guilty of that. I've been here 5 years and I've only done 2 series on giving. 5 years and only 2 series on giving. I was utterly ashamed and I was utterly put in tears because I know that one of the ways that if you truly want to be blessed, you have to give. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, if you truly want to be blessed, you have to give. And that's true prosperity preaching. And many ministers like myself and Chuck Swindoll, we get shy about speaking about money because there's so many shysters and pulpit pimps out there just talking about money. Hello, and we draw back and we don't want to be identified as someone like them. But still, that can be a trick from the devil. Hello, somebody. It can be a trick from the devil because the devil don't want you to be blessed. Hello, somebody. The devil doesn't want the windows of heaven to open and pour out blessings to you. So, one of his tricks is to get preachers like me ashamed or scared or to not talk about this subject of money. But it is a foundational truth. What I would call a core value, that if you want to be blessed by God, he has set it up that you give to him. And it was him and him alone. And many people out there, they're talking about, giving, but they're saying, give to my ministry. They talk about giving and they take that money and misuse it. But one of the things Pastor Swindoll was concerned with was that a church his size should be able to do some things financially that they're not able to do right now. Come on. Hello, somebody. In other words, if we want to do kingdom business here on earth, we have to give. Hello, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, oh neighbor, you have to give. You have to give. There's no way around it. You can't. There's no loopholes in this time. You see, when you render unto Caesar, that you can find some loopholes. But with this thing, there's no loopholes. Hello, somebody. People like to find a loophole. Do I give a tenth part, a dime on every dollar off the gross or off the net? And to which I like to say, do you want to be blessed on the gross or the net? Hello, somebody. The gross is a lot bigger number. Hello, somebody. You want to be blessed. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Should I tithe from my income tax check? Do you want to be blessed on your income tax check? Should I tithe on this money that I just got in the mail? I wasn't expecting it. Do you want to be blessed off that money that you wasn't supposed to, didn't know that you would be blessed? Hello. You truly want to be a part of the kingdom economy. And I like him, and he's much further along the lines. I have to get over this thing. and this has to be a one of our core values. Let me say, one of our core values, one of the things that we hear about all the time, as much as I talk about marriage, as much as I talk about prayer, as much as I talk about holiness, don't you know that you're not holy if you're not giving to God? Hello, somebody. Because the indicator of whether you love God or whether you love this world is what? It's how you handle your money. Hello, somebody. Oh, you can look like up in here and be faking and shaking like you are holy, holier than that in a bag of chips and dips. But the true way to show how much you love God is to look at your checkbook. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So I don't want to raise up a generation of people who will not be blessed. I don't want to raise up a generation of people who will not be able to accomplish God's kingdom business here on earth because they are not giving right. We used to pose this question, how you living? Oh, this morning I want to pose the question, how you giving? Hello, somebody, because that really determines how you're living. Hello, somebody, ask your neighbor, neighbor, how you giving? How you giving? And are you giving to be remembered? Hello, somebody, and let me ask you that question again. Are you giving to be remembered? In the text, we looked at a lady whose offerings set up a memorial for her. Yeah. Her offering, the way that she gave, the first question we asked in the text, is giving necessary or why wash? Why wash? It says in the text, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Why wash? Why wash? Well, you've heard me preach this text before, that they had to wash because they were simply dirty. Hello, somebody. They lived in a dusty environment, in a desert environment, so that when they washed themselves and they went out to go to somebody else's house, their bodies would be clean, but their feet would be dirty. And the host was supposed to supply a servant or himself to wash the feet of those who were coming to his dinner party. And if you didn't provide someone to wash feet, then that meant there was a pure way of dissatisfying people. All right. Of not having good bringing up good cultural morals, if you would. And she washed him with this because it was a need. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Yeah. It says in verse 14:8, it says, she did what she could. She poured the perfume on my body of the forehand to prepare for my burial. All right. Yes, sir. It not only was a temporal need, it was a eternal need. Hello, somebody, because he was born to die, and she did this and poured this out, to prepare for his burial. So why wash? It is a need to wash. Just like Malachi, as we pose the question, why give? Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe unto the storehouse. Because of what? So there would be, the King James said, that there be meat in my house. The NIV said that there may be food in my house. It is a need, and thereby we need to give. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We give because there is a need. We have to take care of the things here. We have to do what God calls us to do as we're planning to build a new building. Don't you know to build a new building, it takes what? It takes finances. Hello, somebody. It takes finances. Why give? Why give? Because there's a need to give. Because in order to do it, in order to do what God has called us to accomplish or want us to accomplish, we need to give.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. And then we pose this old question here. Oh, why do we bring our money to the church? It's just a waste. Hello, somebody. Here's the question then. Well, then we pose the question, why waste? Oh, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, this caused an uproar, this caused a stir. Why this waste of perfume? Why did it? It's a whole year's wage. Hello, somebody. And she just, in their eyes, wasted it. And many times people think giving to the church is a big waste. Oh, because hey, we've been talking about after our building for over 20 years and we think it's a waste. Why do I need to bring my money? That preacher just gonna take my money. Oh, honey, the preacher ain't gonna take your money because you ain't never seen the preacher around the money here, up in here, up in here. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, son. And we have all this. Why do I need to give? Why? Don't give that man. Don't give that. You're not giving a man money anyway. Hello, somebody. You're really not giving Bethlehem money anyway. Oh, you give it to who?
God.
And God alone. And guess what? When you give to God, that can't be a waste. When you give to God, as a matter of fact, the only way, the only place in Scripture where God says to try me in this. The only place in Scripture, let me say it again. The only place in Scripture, let me say that again. The only place in Scripture where you can test God. Oh, and some of you have grew up in the church and they used to say, don't test God. Well, oh, that's a general principle, but God says you can test me right here in this place, in this spot. This only spot is the only spot and only place where you can test me. Hello, somebody. In other words, he said, it won't be a waste. Oh, you think, as you look at your bills, and you think you need that little 10% to pay the rest of your bills, and it's going to be a waste. Oh, and then you're going to be behind, and that's what the devil wants you to think. But God is letting you know this morning that he's a real God. He's a living God. And guess what? I'm not a waste. As a matter of fact, oh, you better know that I am your everything. You better know that I can do some stuff for you that your accountants can't. I can do some stuff for you that Caesar can't do. I can do some stuff for you. Hey, try me in this area. Hello, somebody. You take us away. Hello, somebody. And here it says this in Luke 14:5. It could have been sold for more than a year's wage and the money given to the poor. And usually when folks see that, they are the ones that are the thieves anyway. Hello, somebody. They don't want the money to go for what it really can be used for. So they have an excuse why. And they're the ones that's really silly. Hello, somebody. Will a man rob God? Oh, Brother Banner shared with us on Thursday night a code 211. When the police gives that code 211, oh, anybody know what that means? Robbery in progress. Hello, somebody. And in the house today, God is giving a 211. Oh, and there's a robbery in progress in the house. Oh, Lord, the Lord, right in the middle of the day, somebody is jacking God. Somebody is stealing from God. Somebody is robbing in the bright daylight. Oh, they don't have a mask on. And they're not sneaking around in the dark. They're robbing God, stealing from God right in the day. Say what? A 211 in progress. And God posed the question, will a man rob God? A rhetorical question. Oh, yes, a man will rob God. say, oh, why? You ask, why give? Oh, you think it's a waste. Oh, but God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the, oh, the NIV says, the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. Oh, we know that there's a 211 in progress because we can see that God has not yet opened the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Oh, he hasn't opened the windows of heaven yet because we are robbing God. Robbing God blind. Hello, somebody. Robbing him blind. Hello, somebody. Malachi says, yes, you robbed me in tithes and in offerings. You robbed me. That's a 211 in progress. Oh, and you won't be remembered because you don't give many times to folk, and it just happens this way. Oh, they'll go about robbing God, and instead of the windows of heaven opening, they'll get themselves in financial trouble, and they'll come to the household of the Lord and want us to help them out. And one of the ways we can determine whether you deserve help or not is whether you are what? Tithing or not? Hello, somebody. Ooh, that's deep, that's deep, that's deep. That's deep, that's deep, that's deep. That's deep, that's deep, that's deep. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, that's deep, that's deep, that's deep. You see, because God will come to the aid of those who give. God will come. He'll move in the hearts and minds of people who are stingy to come help you out if you do and put God first in this area of giving. So you don't give, and when you're in trouble, guess what? You'll not remember. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Yeah, what Reverend Rushing would say is tight, but it's right. It's true prosperity preaching. God said I had to go back and tell him to bring the whole tithe. Because you're not giving even a dime on a dollar. You're giving 5 cents on a dollar. Oh, you're not even. Oh, you barely give a dollar. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They said that $1 bill gets to go two places. The church and the strip club. Hello, somebody. I didn't make that up. Don't get mad at me. Is that dollar part a dime on every dollar that you make? Hello, somebody. So when you get in trouble, you won't be remembered. Hello, somebody. So why wash? Because it's needed. Why waste? It's really not a waste. Hello, somebody. If you really want to be blessed, why awaken? Pose the question, why awaken? And it's talking about a memorial. And it seemed like God helped me preach about this woman all the time, not because of me, but because of her giving. It's a memorial. It says, if you are a gospel preacher, if you preach the gospel, oh, she will be remembered. It says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached, oh, we're trying to Bethlehem. We're trying to preach the gospel. And wherever the gospel is preached, Bethlehem. Wherever the gospel is preached, wherever somebody's concerned about keeping the main thing, wherever somebody tells about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, oh, and dying for the sins of the world, being buried and raised on the third day, wherever that place is, this woman will be remembered. Her memory will be awakened because of how she gave. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, when you die, will you be remembered? Well, will you be remembered? You probably won't be remembered, to tell you the truth. Because you're robbing God. It's a 211 in progress. You're robbing God. Robbing God. I dear brother that's going on to be with the Lord. Brother Bill Cummings. It seems that the life that he lives, we don't want him to be forgotten. So much so that when he lost his life, many members were thinking about that there's some way we need to remember him. Maybe we need to name our fellowship hall in his remembrance. There's something that we need to do to remember him. And this is only because he was a lavish giver. He was a lavish giver. He poured out in his life his perfume, his nore. He poured it out in this place. And when they said that, Brother Bill, this is one of his testimonies. He loved him some Bethlehem. Hello, somebody. And it wasn't just by word, but it was by deeds. Oh, he loved him so much so that we run into his nephew. Hello, somebody. And now his nephew is giving to the church. He owns a light company. And that light company, he sent somebody down here, to redo all of the lights in the fellowship hall. Hello, somebody. And not only that, but he says, I want to do more. I want to help you out more. Oh, he won't be forgotten because he was a lavish giver. Oh, he won't be forgotten. Oh, because he will be remembered because he put his heart and his money in the same place. And it was at this place. And as a result, yeah, go ahead and give God a hand. Have a praise. Yes, a result because of his lavish giving. Hello, somebody. Because of his lavish giving, he will not be forgotten. They tried to get on him because get on her because of her lavish giving. Given to the poor. Jesus said, the poor gonna be here always. Hello, somebody. And he said in Luke 14:5, because and they rebuked her harshly. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Oh, and God is saying to somebody up in here who's drinking up that haterade because somebody is giving lavishly. God is saying, leave him alone. Leave her alone. Stop drinking up that haterade just because you're robbing God and you're not being blessed. Oh, don't get mad at somebody else who's taking God at his word and he's opening up the floodgates of heaven in their life and pouring out blessings. Oh, don't you hate. Oh, you've got to contribute and stop hating. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you got to contribute and stop hating in Jesus' name. Oh, if you truly want to be blessed today, oh, you got to give to God. And the more you give, the more blessed you will be. And the more blessed you will be, the more you can give. And the more you give, the more blessed you'll be. And the more blessed you'll be, you can give more and start that cycle of blessing in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life. You can leave your children a true inheritance of the kingdom of God. If you try God right now, and if you decide today that I'm going to give to God, I'm going to stop robbing God, and I'm going to give him everything I have. I'm giving my money. I'm going to give him my time. I'm going to give him my gifts. I'm going to give him my abilities. Give him my
talents, I'm going to give so much that when I die, people will remember me. I said, from when I die, people will remember me. People will talk of me like we talked about Reverend Johnson in Sunday school, because he gave. Oh, and like we talked about Deacon Floyd, because he gave. Everybody that has been sacrificial in this place, their name comes up over and over again because they gave God everything. I said they gave God everything. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, how much is your offering? How much is your offering? Answer that question by saying everything. I owe God everything. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I owe God everything, which means he can get 10% if he want 1 week. He can get 15% if he want 1 week. He can get 50%. He can get it all at times because I owe him my everything. I said my everything. I said my everything. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God deserves everything. Try him. I said, try him. Try him. And see when he opened the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. We sing that song, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. But first, give so that the floodgates of heaven can be opened. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I said, give God a hand clap of praise. Stand to your feet and give God a hand clap of praise. I said, give him an offering of praise right now. In Jesus' name, give him a hand clap of praise. He deserves my everything. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, everything. I said, everything. Everything. Oh, I gotta let this go because we got other places to go. But he deserves my everything, not just in everything. And I'm gonna try him for myself, not what mama said. I'm gonna try him for myself in Jesus' name. Deacons, will you come?
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad that Jesus Christ was a giver. I'm so glad that he didn't just stop at 10%. I was in that night of the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to pray as he struggled on that night. And he had to pray because God wasn't off, didn't want 10% this time. He wanted everything. He wanted it all, and Jesus had to come to terms with that. And he had to pray what we have to pray. Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will in the area of my money, but thy will be done. I'm going to trust you. He had to trust God, and he left that place. I'm so glad that he didn't take 10% of a beating. He didn't just take 10% of a mocking and a scorning. He didn't just take 10% of a trial. He had to take everything. And he took everything as they mocked him and they scorned him. And I'm so glad that he didn't take only 10% of the cross when they put it on his back. I'm so glad that he didn't get up on that hill called Golgotha and say, nail only 10% of my body to this cross. But on that day, everything was required, and Jesus would give his everything. They nailed him to that cross and raised him up between two thieves, as if to say that he was a thief. But he wasn't a thief. He was the Son of God. And he on that cross, I'm so glad that he didn't give up 10% of his ghost, but he gave up everything. And I'm so glad that when he gave up everything, they took him off that cross and put him in a bar or two. And I'm so glad that he didn't stay in that bar or two 10% of 3 days. I'm so glad that he stayed
until it was God's time. And the Bible says that on the third day, he got up. I'm so glad that when he got up, he didn't only have 10% of his power. He got up and had all power in his hands. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. All power in his hands. And that's why I can live today, because my God, is all powerful. I'm glad that I can try him. I can give him my everything. There's somebody here today, you don't know Christ. And the way that you can tell that you don't know Christ is that you only give him 10% of your time. Only 10% of your talents. But he says, I need everything. Everything. I want everything. I just don't want Sunday. I want Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, I want everything. And some of you here today, you don't know. You know him. You may know him as Savior, but you don't know him as Lord. He comes in your life, he wants to be everything. Lord and Savior. Everything.
Everything.
That's the offering that he wants from you today. If you do not know Jesus, step out of your seat and come forward and say, preacher, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If you do not, if you're here today and you don't have a church home, one thing that you don't realize is that out there in the world, you can live in your own strength and in your own power by yourself. You need the household of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly together. And you have been forsaking, and God is saying, I want everything. I want you to come and join my bride, join my church. Whatever your decision is today, it may be to be baptized. It may be for prayer. Whatever your decision right now, come forward.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. Thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family.
because babies can't make it on their own.
And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.